If you want to turn and get a jump on me, the first scripture we're turning to this morning will be John chapter 15. And let's just start in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, we're thankful unto you to be able to come into your house and worship you, sing songs, praise you, Lord God, fellowship one with another, and hear from your word, which is the bulk of our time in the Lord's house today. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would help us to hear from your word. You would open up your scriptures to us. Remove the scales from our eyes that we might see in the scriptures Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us indeed with that this morning, we pray, during the Sunday school hour, both upstairs and downstairs in every classroom in this place right now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In our study, End Time Characters Know, and I hope maybe to conclude this little mini series this morning, we've taken a break. Not really a break, a deep dive here in our larger series, The End of the World. I looked at some end time characters to know, and the most stunning, most striking, and indeed most important character to know in the end times is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we've looked and see him not only prominent in scriptures concerning the end times, but prominent throughout the entire Bible. I gave you a statement that one made that Jesus Christ can be found on every page of the Bible, including the Old Testament. And so we're talking about that, and we're talking specifically about the pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus, how they reveal his future appearance and work in the end times. Jesus appeared to Abraham before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. I call that Christ, the coming judge. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And we talked about that. Jesus appeared to Joshua. I'm going to get through that. Jesus appeared to Joshua when they had just crossed the Jordan River on dry land. And they had made some sharp instruments and recircumcised all the males. They hadn't done that for 40 years in the wilderness. It's time to obey God again. They just observed the Passover. They obeyed God, obeyed God, obeyed God, and then the Lord showed up to fight against the enemies. And Christ, the coming conqueror, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, Joshua sees a man with his sword drawn, and he goes to him and he says, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" And what did that man say? "Nay, neither one. I'm not for you. I'm not for your enemies. I'm come as the captain of the Lord's hosts." And I gave you the lesson for us is, you know, even in the coming tribulation, it's not about vindicating Christians. It's about the name of the Lord. Christians want to think, well, God is on our side. No, God is on his side. You better get on his side. And if you get on his side, then you're on the same side. Christ the coming conqueror. And we talked now about Christ the constant comforter in Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. By the way, I hear everybody pronounce it Abednego. If you look at it carefully, it's Abednego. Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to the idol that the king had set up. Refused to bow down. They were given a chance to do it again. And they said, "No, we're not going to bow. God can deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't deliver us, we ain't going to bow. We're not going to bow." And so they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn. They saw Nebuchadnezzar said, "Didn't we cast three men into the fire?" "Yes, King, three." "Then how come when I look into the furnace, there's four men, not bound, but up walking around, and the fourth looks like the Son of God?" Well, even a heathen king can recognize the Son of God when he sees him. We talked about martyrdom through the years and how as the end draws near for us, as we get... If you know Christ as Savior, and I hope that every adult in this room does, I trust that. If you know Christ as Savior, you won't have to go through the tribulation period. We will hear the trumpet sound. We will see the Lord come in the skies for us. But as we get closer to that period, as we get closer to that event, the persecution and the temptation will become greater in scope and greater in magnitude. It will become worse and worse. It'll be harder and harder to stand. It'll be easier and easier and easier when the king says bow to bow. And so, I asked you this question. We closed with this question, last week. How can we rely on the comfort of Christ to keep us from giving in to temptation? How can we rely on the comfort of Christ? Just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, others throughout the scriptures did, how can we rely on the comfort of Christ to keep us from giving in to temptation? I do want to hear from you this morning, and we'll take answers from you. I do want to make this interactive this morning, but in order to just help you see where we're going with this, let me rephrase the question in a couple of different ways. John 15, look at John chapter 15 and look at verses 4 and 5. The words of Jesus here, the night before the crucifixion, Jesus tells the 12 apostles, look, John 15, 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. He talks about abiding in Christ. And he says, if you abide in Christ, you'll bring forth much fruit. Well, what kind of fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. We read it in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. So, a corollary question, how can we rely on the comfort of Christ to keep us from giving in to temptation? Well, we need peace in the time of temptation. So rephrase the question, how can we abide in Christ? That's just another way of asking the same thing. How can we abide in Christ? We have to abide in Christ. As the temptation, the troubled times, the tribulation that we will go through, not the tribulation of the 7 years, but the tribulation that in this life, in the world, ye shall have tribulation, Jesus told them in the same night. The tribulation that we will go through, how can we stay strong, stay fast, get the comfort of Christ? We abide in Christ. Well, how can we abide in Christ? Here's another form of the question. James 4 verse 8 says, draw nigh to God and he will... draw nigh to you. Well, in that time of tribulation, I want the comfort. I want him to draw nigh to me. Well, what do I have to do? I have to draw nigh to him. So here's another form of the same question. How can we draw nigh to God? How can we draw nigh to God? Now, I want to tell you this. I think I have to cover this. I've been talking about the situation may come along where you're told, bow. And it may not be a golden idol 50 feet high. It's simply, you're told, disobey God. Renounce Jesus Christ. Deny Jesus. Deny the Lord. You're told, don't walk with the Lord. You're told, do something that dishonors the Lord. Whether it's by government, whether it's by your fellow man, there's come in a time in your, whether it's by your own wicked heart, comes a time in your life when you're told that. And when it becomes a difficult decision to stay strong. Maybe not making the decision is so difficult, but staying strong is difficult. Abiding the fire is difficult. Going through the consequences of standing for the Lord is difficult. You need the comfort of Christ. You need to the abiding. You need Him to draw near. Now, here's the statement that I want to make. Before I ask you how you can do that, I do want to say this. Turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 6, says this. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. I want to see a corollary verse. In my Bible, I've cross-referenced Psalm 32, verse 6. Look at Psalm 32. Isaiah 55, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Look at Psalm 32, verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. What's that? In the pleasant season they've sought the Lord. And then when the floods of great waters come, it won't drown them. I remember every time I read that verse, in fact, I wrote a note in my Bible. Every time I read that verse, I remember, and if you paid attention to the news, you remember the spiritual revival that happened to America September 11th, 2001. That was a Tuesday. Prayer meetings Wednesday night were packed out. Churches Sunday morning were packed out. There was a revival, if you will, in America that began September 11th, 2001, lasted till about October 11th, 2001. If you wait until the flood to draw nigh, it's not going to be much help. Here's what I wrote down. I put it up here for you to read. I'll just read it here. If you don't abide in Christ during the pleasant seasons, you'll not have much success drawing nigh in the trials. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. If you don't abide in Christ when it's smooth sailing, what do you think you're going to get out of your relationship with the Lord when it's rough sailing? Let me just give a personal testimony. A man that I know, a Christian, I have no doubt this man is saved. I knew him very well when this happened. No doubt that he's saved, but he's never really committed wholeheartedly, never really lived a life truly walking with the Lord consistently. There have been fits and spurts, and God has done amazing things in his life at times, but for the most part, he's lived for the world for decades. And he was going through, years ago, an extremely difficult situation in his life. And I was trying to help out, doing my duties as a pastor, even though he hadn't been to church in a long time, doing my duties as a pastor and as a friend, trying to help out. And this was a situation, it was rough on him. And in fact, if you looked at the situation, it was actually quite scary, where you would think there may be something demonic going on here. That's how crazy and rough this situation was. And so he got very frustrated. And as I'm trying to shepherd, if you will, as I'm trying to help out, I'm trying to encourage. He said, Vic, nothing against you, and I don't want to hurt your feelings, but in this situation, Jesus don't do it for me right now. Of course, I couldn't say what I thought, but I immediately thought, did Jesus ever do it for you? Did Jesus ever do it for you. If you don't abide in Christ during the pleasant seasons, you'll find very frustrating trying to draw nigh to Him and take advantage. Here we have access to everything offered by the King of Glory. We have access Paul said in 1 Corinthians, is it chapter 3, all things are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. We have access to all of that. We have access to the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. We have the ability to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. We have the ability to let the peace of God keep us. Philippians chapter 4. But if we're not practiced at it, when it's easy to grasp, we won't experience it when it's difficult. I just want to give an illustration. Suppose you took flying lessons and you sat through the classroom, even memorized the book, but you skipped all the actual flight time. You never got behind the controls of a plane. And by some miracle, because of they changed the rules, and because of your memorizing the book, you actually got a license to fly, having never sat behind the controls of a plane. And then you need to go somewhere, you go to the airport, you get a ticket, you get on a 777 jumbo jet as a passenger sitting in coach. Do they even have coach in first class anymore? I don't know. I haven't flown in a long time, but so there you are, and they announce the pilot had a heart attack and the co-pilot had a stroke. We need a licensed pilot. And you're the only licensed pilot on board. And there you are, behind the controls of a 777 jumbo jet. You have a piece of paper that says you have everything you need to handle this. How frustrating would it be that you don't know the first thing of how to handle it? I should have got up in the Cessna. I should have got up in the Piper Cub when I had the instructor beside me helping in the landing and takeoff. How frustrating. That's how frustrating it is in the difficult times for the Christian who's never walked with the Lord consistently in the pleasant times. That's the Christian that's going to bow when the King says bow. That's the Christian that's going to hurt in the fire. So the question is, how can we rely on the comfort of Christ to keep us from giving in to temptation? I want to open it up to you. For the sake of those watching via live stream, whatever you say, I'll probably repeat. Don't get frustrated with that. Stay prayed up, Brother Matt says. Stay prayed up, Mrs. Tigges. Committing everything to Him daily. When you say everything, what all do you mean? Rely on Him. Give us this day our daily bread.
Things happen every day, and you don't always have an answer. And you have to commit things to Him just because.
The answers that you need. The burdens. Commit thy burden unto the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Your cares. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So stay prayed up, commit everything. How about your works, even your works? Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto, what thoughts? Thoughts of peace, thoughts, commit thy, obey! Submit and obey. Miss Gail, good to have you back, by the way.
Knowing in your heart, according to scriptures, there's nothing that's going to happen to you that there's no doubt
We call that trust.
Right.
Trust. Faith. I saw a hand over here. Maybe not. I'll repeat that. Prayers given in rough storms are often forgotten in calm waters. Did I say that right? And promises claimed in rough waters or rough storms are forgotten in calm waters. We let things go too far. We wait until he or she went to divorce court, and then we say, Lord, help. Pastor, help. We wait until we're filing bankruptcy. And we say, Lord, help. Goodness. That's a focus on self. Self-reliance instead of committing to Him daily. So here's what I want to bring out. How can we rely on the comfort of Christ to keep us from giving in to temptation? Let me ask you this. So you need encouragement from the Lord. Matt, if you need encouragement from Joshua, what do you have to do? If Joshua is trying to encourage you, what is he going to use to encourage you? But how's he going to get that to you? Verbally. If you need encouragement from the Lord, what's he going to use? His word. He's got to talk to you. In fact, go back to John 15. Look at verse 7. If ye abide in me, that's what we're talking about, abiding in Christ, and my words abide in you. How do I abide in Christ? Part of it is his words have to abide in me. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Well, that's what I want in the temptation and trial. His word. His word. We've got to read His Word. We've got to study His Word. By the way, we've got to hear His Word taught and preached. I'm preaching to the choir on this one. You're the crowd that actually showed up for Sunday school. And you'll be here Sunday night and you'll be here Wednesday night. We got to have His Word. We've got to have a steady diet of His Word. That's part of drawing nigh to Him. That's part of abiding in Him. That's part of getting the comfort that we need. We've got to hear from His Word. That's why it's so vital. It's not just an exercise to burn 15 minutes of Sunday school when Pastor Mass stands up here every Sunday morning and we go through the answers to the devotional. It's to keep you accountable for reading God's Word every day. It's not a waste of time. It's going through the Word of God together in a systematic way so that year after year after year after year after year, you've read the Word of God. You've read the Word of God. You've read the Word of God. Hear from His Word. That's how He's going to comfort you. And in those particular times, in those particular trials, in particular situations where things get difficult, what portion of the Word of God might you turn to? The Psalms. Wonderful. Brother Pat? The words in red. Like we've just read. The words of Christ. Anywhere else? I, You know, I like just the stories. People don't like that word story, but it's true stories. The accounts of what people of faith in the past did. In fact, that's my next point. How can you get the comfort of Christ? How about learn from the testimonies of other believers? What they went through. You know, we have a whole book full of testimonies. But there's other ways. There's other places to find testimonies. People who aren't in the Bible. Where else? Where do we find testimonies of other believers? From your own congregation. Right from them. Straight from the horse's mouth. Right from your own congregation. Right? What's that? Missionaries. Fox's Book of Martyrs. Other books. Biographies. By the way, I have a ton of biographies. A ton of books on every subject, but a ton of biographies. If you want to borrow books, especially biographies, you let me know. But downstairs in the school library, there's tons of biographies. There's biographies on all kinds of people. Learn from the testimonies of others, what they accomplished through faith, how they got through trials and difficult situations. How about this one? Go to Colossians chapter 3, start at verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Boy, that's what we need in trial, isn't it? And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful, not just one day in November or one week in November, all the time. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's what we just talked about. But watch this next part. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Well, that's what we need in trial is grace in our hearts. And the companion passage in Ephesians says melody. Making melody in your heart. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In my heart, there rings a melody. Well, that's what you need. Here's how you can draw nigh to Christ. Here's how you can abide in Christ. Here's how you can let the comfort of Christ comfort you in trial. Enjoy good spiritual music. And I emphasize that word spiritual for a reason. Look at it again in verse 16. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I make this point often in the New Testament. The Spirit is often contrasted against as the opposite of the flesh. Galatians 5, the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary the one to the other. Was that Galatians 5? Where was that? So if there are spiritual songs, then obviously there are also fleshly songs. How do you tell the difference between spiritual songs and fleshly songs? What does it move? Does it move your flesh? Or does it move your spirit? What does it move? In my heart there rings a melody. That moves my spirit. If I give in to temptation, make me want to bang my head. Make me want to shake other parts. Spiritual songs. By the way, that's not simply the words of the music. That's the style of the music. That's why in this church, and I I'm preaching to the choir, but in this church, we got no stomach for Christian rock and CCM, for the fleshly songs with the spiritual words. Enjoy good spiritual music. Saul, King Saul, was in the spiritual dregs. And what would get him out of it? David and his harp playing spiritual songs. And, boy, it's so much easier for us. Saul actually hired or indentured a man to live in his house, a musician to live in his house with him. You don't have to go that far. You can buy good spiritual music on compact disc or on MP3 download, or you can listen for free on the internet. And there are streaming stations, and I got a list of stations if you want my list. There are stations that stream good spiritual music, Christ-honoring music without any of the nonsense music. Enjoy good spiritual. Boy, that's so uplifting, just like it helped Saul. And Saul didn't even have the Holy Spirit living in his heart. Old Testament saints did not. Saul didn't even have the Holy Spirit living in his heart. You got the Holy Spirit living in your heart, who will testify that what they sing and what they play is the truth and lift you up. Here's a fourth one. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. We're answering the question, how can you abide in Christ? How can you let the comfort of Christ help you in time of temptation and trouble and tribulation and trial? How can you draw nigh to God so that He'll draw nigh to you? Hebrews chapter 3, start at verses 12 through 15. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily. How often? Exhort one another for 1 hour on Sunday morning. Is that what it said? Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. And we could go to many other passages to see this, but how can you draw nigh to God? Pursue the fellowship of other believers. Pursue the fellowship of other believers. That'll help you immensely. Let me point this out. Everything that you've offered as a way to draw nigh to God, to experience the comfort of Christ, and everything that I've given as a way, every single one of those can fall under these three categories. Our all-sufficient program for the Christian is the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the people of God. That's the fully sufficient program we need through every circumstance. This church gets phone calls all the time. Our church in Kansas got phone calls all the time. I remember many of them. What kind of program do you have as a church for fill in the blank, whatever it was, teens, recovering alcoholics, recovering drug addicts, fill in the blank. What kind of program do you have for? And my answer was the same program we have for everybody else. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the people of God. We don't have a psychologist on staff. We've got the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the people of God. We don't have a divorce support group. Well, yeah, we do. It's called Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. And I get that, you know. Do you have a program for divorced people? And what they're looking for is a program where they can meet other divorced people of the opposite sex and then stop and not all of a sudden be married again. And the church to sanction it. No, we have the Word of God, Spirit of God, and the people of God. doesn't Peter tell us? He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What's he given us? The Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the people of God. Draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. But if you don't, it's just the warning. Many can testify to this. If you don't learn to draw nigh in the pleasant waters, you'll be frustrated trying to figure out how to draw nigh in the storms, in a stormy gale. We're out of time once again. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for our time in the Word of God this morning. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help and you would bless, you would guide and direct, and that you would be the center, Father, of all things that take place in this place today. Lord, thank you for our time studying the Son, your Son, as he is revealed in the Scriptures, Old and New Testament. And Father, continue to bless this study as we move forward, learning more about the end of the world, not for sensationalism's sake, but Lord God, so that we might apply it to our lives today. Thank you, Lord God. Bless the church services, guide and direct in all things, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.